You are now entering the world of Blissful Living, broadcasting around the globe and on the Blissful Living Network with Rochelle Marie Lawson. Are you lacking energy, clarity, and that sense of true well-being? Are you overworked, underpaid, and know that you deserve more in life? You are not alone. Improve your wellness, wisdom, and wealth so that you can step into living the life of your dreams. And now, here's your host of Blissful Living, the queen of feeling fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blissful Living. This is the queen of feeling fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson, and I am here to share with you two beautiful souls that we have upon our earth gracing us and sharing their wisdom about things that we can do to enhance ourselves and our life as we travel down our path to bliss. So I just want to share a little bit about them to pique your curiosity. And this, you guys, will be a perfect time for you to pull up a chair, sit back and relax, and really just, you know, let yourself have a few moments to take good care of yourself and take the time to listen to the show that we have today. Now, the guest name is Jyotish and Devi. And what they are spiritual directors of Anada, a global spiritual movement of people living the change they want to see in the world. So I'm going to give you some more information about that. But before we dive into this really fascinating show, I want to take the time out to thank our sponsors. The first one that I would like to thank, of course, is the Health, Healing, and Wellness Company. They've been a sponsor of ours for quite a while. They are a holistic health and wellness company, and what they do is help you to restore your energy, your vitality, your youthfulness, and actually stop the aging process and also teach you how to reverse the aging process just by taking really good care of yourself and knowing what to do when you might not be feeling as well as you would like to. They have a bunch of spring specials that are being offered right now. So if you really want to step into getting ready for the summertime and having that summertime body, not only looking good, but feeling good and having that energy to enjoy the summer weather that's coming up, then you definitely want to check out the Health, Healing, and Wellness Company at healthhealingwellness.com. The next sponsor that I would like to take the time to thank is the telecommunications company in the Silicon Valley. They've been in business for almost 27 years, and what they do is they do installation of voice data, fiber optic, wireless access systems, and basically set up your network distribution so the backbones, the foundation of your telecommunications operates efficiently the first time, because All Day Cable Inc. makes the right connections the first time. So if you have a need and you want a company that has been around the block and back, you definitely want to check out All Day Cable Inc. for any of your telecommunication needs, and that is at alldaycableinc.com. Now let's get to the wonderful, wonderful, I know I'm going to mispronounce this, Naswamy, Jyotish, and Devi. And as I mentioned to you all, they are spiritual directors of Anada, a global spiritual movement of people living the change they want to see in the world. That statement right there is very profound. They are emissaries of Paramahansa Yogananda, spiritual master who sparked a revolution of yoga and meditation in the West with his book, Autobiography of a Yoga. And if you've been listening to the show over the last 7 years, you know that I am an Ayurvedic practitioner, and I do as much as I possibly can to really educate you and share words of wisdom and lots of ancient techniques for improving your health and well-being based on the principles of Ayurveda. And Ayurveda is the sister science of yoga, and meditation is incorporated into that, and I'm a certified meditation specialist. So this is just absolutely fabulous to have two emissaries here that can share words of wisdom about the revolution of yoga and meditation. And they are carrying forward Yogananda's mission to raise consciousness around the world. So it gives me great pleasure to introduce Jyotish and Davey to Blissful Living. Welcome, Jyotish and Davey. How are you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you, Rochelle Marie. It's just a very great pleasure to be on your show. And, you know, we're all in this world to do a little bit of good, and we seem to all be doing our part in that. Some of those names are a little bit of a tongue twister, so I'll, since we're used to them, our title is Naya Swami. It's part of a Swami order. Naya means new, so it means the new Swami order. And so I'm Naya Swami Jyotish, and it's Naya Swami Davey, but just call us Jyotish and Davey. We're very informal.
Thank you. No, I want to honor you with, you know, you're correct. So Naya Swami Jyotish and Naya Swami Davey, correct?
That's right. Very
perfect.
Good, Marie. Okay. And also, okay. I want to say what we really feel very honored to be on a high, such a high-minded radio show, and you've been doing such good work, and I'm sure your listeners are very grateful to have a program like yours that they can tune into.
Thank you very much. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. So I want to jump in, and I know my listeners are probably curious as to what Ananda is. So can you just share a little bit about what Ananda is?
Yeah, you know, you mentioned earlier the wonderful book, Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda. So our founder and teacher was named Swami Kriyananda, and he was a direct disciple, spent the last 3.5 years of Yogananda's life with him, and was one of the main teachers in that organization. One of the things that Yogananda really stressed was, if people want to meditate, if people are high-minded, if they have high aspirations for whatever it might be, in our case, for spiritual aspirations, trying to find our unity with everybody else and with the Creator, he said, why not gather together and support each other in doing that? So he urged the founding of what he called World Brotherhood Communities. And so very nearly 50 years ago, Swami Kriyananda, and I was his assistant at the time, founded our first community, Ananda, which now has about 1,000 acres and 250 people living in homes and so on. And then It's based on meditation, on healthful living, on practicing the precepts of connectedness. And then that movement has now spread around the world. We have 8 other communities around the world. We have hundreds of centers and meditation groups, and we're on all the continents and all the major countries around the world. And so it's really a movement of people who are practicing meditation and the high-minded, one might say, projection of high-mindedness into all aspects of life, family and business and schools and all of that.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier, Rochelle Marie, that we're trying to demonstrate how to put high ideals into practice. And so what we've really created, I mean, meditation right now is very popular. Hatha yoga is very popular, but then people go back to their life and they argue with their spouse or they, you know, yell at their coworker. So we're trying to show, how does meditation uplift and enhance every aspect of life? So improving relationships with family and friends, improving your ability to do better at work and to concentrate, improving your health, improving the way you raise your children. And so we've, as Jyotish mentioned, we've created these communities with businesses and health clinics and schools and gardens and how you interact with the world, the natural world around you, and to show how spirituality and daily life are not separate, that they can be brought together to really bring a much happier, more fulfilling way of life.
So I like what you shared right there in the context of the background of where this, you know, how you two created this, and then also the enhancement or the incorporation of meditation into your daily life. And you brought up an interesting point with regards to, you know, you meditate. Now, I've been meditating since I was a teen, and I'm not a teen anymore. However, I think that because I have been meditating for so long, I feel like I'm in my 20s, okay, but way older than that as well. So, you know, the process, you know, the thought of, you know, as you meditate, it actually helps to take years off your face because, you know, you're in this really, you know, peaceful state, and it's just calm. It's just beautiful when you meditate. I've always thought of that. But once you step out of that, like once, you know, I meditated and I go back into, you know, my daily life or whatever, even like when my kids were little, it was almost like I was in this peaceful state that I really loved being in. Then I had to step back out into chaos. And how do I take that peaceful state that I was in into my life of dealing with my very busy kids? You know, so it was interesting that you brought that up because I think people don't understand or don't realize that it is actually possible to take the benefits of meditation and what you experience into your daily life. And I want you guys to share more about that with regards to, you know, what you see with people in society that struggle, or, you know, I'm going to say struggle with, you know, being at work and it's stressful, and yet they have the knowledge of practicing a very peaceful discipline such as meditation, but when they're back in that chaotic state, they lose it. What can you share with the listeners about that? Because I'm sure there's a bunch of people out there that experience that on a daily basis, and they really want to know how they can make that little aspect of their on their path to bliss just a little bit more smoother.
That's a really good question and really good topic. Let me start with what you were talking about, how you're very fortunate that you started meditating so young and have kept it up, but that you feel younger than your age. We have, as part of Ananda Clinic, that serves about 6,000 people in our area. Among those 6,000 people are about 250 people from Ananda. What they have found is, you know, other conditions being the same, environment, rural living, and all of that the same, the people from Ananda are physiologically and psychologically about 10 years younger than the population around us. So, you know, blood pressure and all the ways that you measure kind of age-related conditions, Ananda people are 10 years younger than their chronological age. So we have empirical proof that this way of life actually works. So let me come back to meditation and the application of meditation in daily life. There are a couple of things that are really important. One is that meditation actually changes the brain, changes the way the brain functions. It gives you the ability to make choices from higher centers, specifically the prefrontal lobes, and you're less likely to be driven by the more primitive areas of the brain that bring up anger and jealousy and all the negative emotions. So meditation gives you tools. Now, when you are living daily life and you're obviously going to be challenged by conflict or difficulties or problems, daily life is a bunch of turmoil, let's face it. But those who meditate, if they remember to use them, they have tools that they can use during that time of difficulty or conflict. So if you're having a heated discussion with somebody at work, if you can remember to use it, you have a meditation tool that might be deep breathing. And so in the middle of that heated discussion, you take two or three or four deep breaths, and all of a sudden you calm down. And so therefore the energy that you put out is calm, and the other person mirrors that and they calm down. And so meditation can be very practical if you remember to use the tools that you are practicing when you're sitting.
And I'll give you an example, Rochelle Marie. It's kind of funny, but from our personal life, in a number of years ago, it was actually 1976, Ananda was this community where we live. We're in the foothills of the Sierra Nevada Mountains, sort of halfway between Sacramento and Lake Tahoe, California.
Mm-hmm.
Our community was hit by a forest fire. You know, one of California's great downsides is with all the woods and trees, and there are a lot of forest fires. So our community was burnt to the ground, 1976. And at that time, we have one son who's now grown, but he was 11. Our son was 11 days old at the time. We lost everything we had, everything but the clothes on our back. And Jyotish was up trying to fight the fire, trying to save the house, and I was in a different part of the community, but it was impossible. The flames were like 15 feet high. So Jyotish was coming down to where I was to tell me that the house was gone. But, you know, he was trying to be strong in himself to support me, and I was trying to be strong in myself so he wouldn't have to, take care of a hysterical wife. And
right.
So we both put these big smiles on our face. And the house that we lived in was a geodesic dome. Owner built, Jyotish built it. And it leaked pretty badly. So the first thing Jyotish said to me with this big, broad smile on his face, said, "You know what? We don't have to worry about leaks anymore." And we both burst out laughing. And this was in one of life's most tragic moments. But we thought, right. You know what? We haven't lost our joy. We haven't lost our peace of mind. We lost a house. It can be rebuilt. And it was rebuilt. And here we are 40 years later, and the community is more beautiful than ever. But it's the ability, meditation gives you that ability to stand back in the middle of life's challenges and say, you know, I'm okay. Whatever happens, I'm okay. I still feel that peace within myself. And the more you meditate, the easier it is to access that. And, you know, when we went through turbulent teenage years with our son, and just the ability to work with that and to work with him and not to get, you know, all hysterical, it takes that edge off life, and it replaces it with an underlying sense of well-being that no matter what happens, you know, you can deal with it.
You know, that's so true, especially like you mentioned. Now, I must make a disclaimer here. When I began meditating when I was a teen, I had no idea what I was doing. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, you know, I think I saw it on like some show. I mean, this is in like the 70s. So I saw it on some show. And I thought, oh, that would be cool. And I was a type A, you know, control, you know, all perfectionist, all that kind of stuff. Right. And I actually was suffering from a medical condition that couldn't be diagnosed. So I had all this going on, and I just wanted to feel better and calm the fire that was within. And so I just started sitting and just, you know, acting like I knew what I was doing. It wasn't until I got a little older that I realized, but I still did it because I always felt good. And so you mentioned when your son was, you know, how they go through those moments of being a teen, how you were able to step into this presence of being calm in a situation that, you know, with a turbulent teen, and give wisdom and guidance that was receptive. And I just thought, you know what, I was able to do the same thing at the time. I just realized that that's what I did today. But at the time, I was just always taking, I don't know, I want to say not a higher road, but I was definitely calm and in a state of really peacefulness and presence when I would talk to my kids about something they may have, like, you know, missed curfew or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
But because I was in that state and I wasn't combative, they were receptive to what I had to say instead of being the opposite, of being rebellious to what I had to say. And it was when my son graduated from college that he came back and told me, you know, certain things. But one of the things he said, he was like, "Mom," you know, my kids weren't bad kids by no means, but they go through those teenage years. And
right,
he said, "Mom,
right.
You know, there was some stuff that you used to say," and I'm like, "Oh, here she goes on her positive, you know, her positive spirit." He said, "I would say that in my head." He goes, "But, you know, as I've been away on my own in college and stuff, all that stuff, believe it or not, when something would happen, would trigger for me to, you know," and then he'd be like, "Oh, I'm acting like my mom." And it's just so much. So it's like really cool. And I just like to share that with the listeners because I really don't think, you know, it's so beneficial. And I just get excited about it. And so let me turn back to you. Now, you mentioned with regards to the super easy technique that we can use at any time, but we do not use it. It doesn't even come to the forefront of our mind, which is we were in a situation of conflict, whether it's with your children, your spouse, your parents, your colleagues, your boss, whoever. When we're in that moment of conflict, just the simple technique of taking some deep breaths really just do a shift and a change. Why isn't it, because it's so simple to do and it's accessible to all of us at any given time, why is it that that's probably the least or the last thing that we think of? And do you have any suggestions as to how we can bring that more to the forefront of our mind when we're in a conflict situation versus it remaining back dormant in the bottoms of our, you know, lower parts of our brain?
Okay, I'll address it and then give you a really dramatic example. But many, many techniques of meditation have a technique of watching the breath, and that is innately calming. Deep breathing is innately calming to the consciousness, and that's been known for millennia. But so if deep breathing is calming, then the problem is not whether that's effective, it's whether we can remember to use that. And so we have to train ourselves to use. So it's like we have a tool belt, and one of the really good tools on that tool belt is the screwdriver that opens all kinds of doors. But we have to train ourselves to use that. So the breath is like that. We just have to remember we've got that. So one way to do that is just to practice it. Maybe set up a kind of routine in your mind where when you go into the office or when you have the first interaction on the freeway where somebody cuts you off, the first tendency to get a little bit upset on the freeway, train yourself, okay, at that moment, I'm going to take 5 deep breaths. And so you can train that habit. And if you learn that habit, it can be very effective. So here's a really dramatic story. We have a friend who, at the time, some years ago, was a policeman, and his job was to train all of the rookie policemen in San Francisco. And he had been a meditator, was a fellow meditator with me, took the same classes, so we were good friends. He, having that background of meditation, he taught all of the rookie cops that as soon as you get into a conflict, you have to control your own emotions first, because those emotions are going to get mirrored by whoever you're dealing with. And the way to do that is to take 3 deep breaths. Then he was on a drug bust at one point where in a tenement, it was in a narrow hallway and this fellow had run away. And so he was following him in this dark, narrow hallway. The guy turned around. He had a shotgun and he was pointing it at our friend Mike. And now that's a tense situation. But Mike remembered in that moment his teaching, take 3 deep breaths. So he did that, got himself under control, and then in that state of calmness, looked at the fellow and then just slowly raised his hand, and the man kind of slumped his shoulders and surrendered, gave him the shotgun. But it's not that we don't have that tool, it's remembering to use it. And that's just a habit pattern that we can train ourselves.
And also, Rochelle Marie, you said something that I wanted to highlight because it was important. You said when you were a teenager, you didn't know how to meditate, but you just did something. Well, most people start that way. I started that way, too. I was intrigued, and I just went into a quiet church one day, and I said, I'm going to try to meditate. I don't know what this is. But I felt something. I felt a peace within myself that was very powerful. And so the point that I want to highlight of what you said is meditation actually is a very natural practice for everybody. You don't have to be, quote, spiritual. You don't have to be New Age. You can keep your religion. You can keep your faith. But if you understand that finding the peace and the calmness and really the joy and love within yourself, this is a very natural thing for people to do, as natural as breathing or eating or anything, except it's much more self-benefiting. So I want your listeners to know that don't think meditation is something foreign or way out there. And most religions do have a technique of meditation. They don't call it that. They call it prayer or whatever it might be in
Right. Interacting,
moment of silence, whatever it is. But essentially what you're doing is focusing within. And when you do that, everything starts to change.
Wow, that's beautiful. I love that because I just know what meditation does for me. And I know wholeheartedly know that it can benefit anyone. And I also know that it's not connected to a religion per se.
Right.
Because like you just shared, you know, every religion has some type of meditation. You don't even have to be religious, you know,
exactly,
to meditate and still get the benefits. It's just one of those God-given things that benefits you no matter who you are or where you may be on your path. So I love that. And because you kind of talked about, you know, with my experience, like when we both started, we just started. And it was funny because I felt that peace and calmness. Is, of course, I went back out and was chaotic and still controlling and type A and all of that. But, you know, I think back, I always thought that, like, it's kind of like when you run or you start something, at first it kind of hurts and, you know, you got to get you. But as you, the more you do it, the more comfortable you get, the more easier it becomes, the longer the results last or the longer you notice the results lasting. And
Absolutely. So
it kind of builds upon itself. So,
Absolutely.
You know, with meditation, it just had built upon itself for me. So I'm able to take those moments of when I'm in that meditative state and incorporate them more into my life than way before. Not as often as I should do. I still, you know, I'm still learning, but it's really good.
Thank you for joining Rochelle Marie Lawson on Blissful Living. To contact Rochelle Marie and to find out more about Blissful Living, click on Blissful Living for You link right here on the Blissful Living Network. Catch all the Blissful Living episodes on demand and available for download 24/7 on blissfulliving4you.com. Until next week, may your life be filled with peace, wellness, abundance, and prosperity.